And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, I've been on a lot of radio programs over the years, thousands probably in the last quarter of a century. But one of my favorite hosts is a man named Clyde Lewis. He has a program called Ground Zero. He's up in Portland, Oregon, beautiful place up there. And his program is exciting because he covers topics that, well, frankly, most people don't understand. So he's sort of ahead of his time. He's an advanced thinker. I was privileged to be his guest, and we talked all about, if I can remember right, there was so much going on. But I remember Clyde talked a lot about rituals, the occult rituals of the royal family of England, the symbology. There's so much knowledge there that he knows about secret societies, symbols, and so forth. And of course, he's a real student of politics, even prophecy. So he sort of puts everything together like most people cannot, and it makes it quite interesting. So I'm going to introduce Clyde here to you, and I want you to get a pencil and paper. You'll want to take down his website. He's also author of a book that I know is on Amazon.com. It's on their Kindle. I don't think it's in print yet, but I'll ask Clyde Lewis about that. But if you can get a hold of his program, get his website, listen to it. I think you'll enjoy it because there's so much to it. Clyde Lewis, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you so much, Tex. It's great to be on your program again.
Now, how can the audience, I want to warn them in advance, they're going to enjoy what you say today. And how can they listen to you regularly?
Well, I'm at groundzeromedia.org. That is the website that I have that has the information that I write and talk about. I have plenty of archives on that website as well. And I'm also, we stream the program from KXL.com. KXL is a FM talk station in Portland, and we now can claim that we have about 800,000 listeners
Goodness.
A night here on the Northwest listening, plus people on the Internet are all taking part in it. We have a chat room and all kinds of other people, too, who love to just talk about what we talk about, and a lot of interesting things happening in the world, and I'm thrilled to be a part of this time in history because it just seems that there are so many interesting things with prophecy, what I call the prophetic template, all those things going on that need to be addressed.
You know, there are a number of radio programs, Coast to Coast and others, but I will say, Clyde, yours is the most interesting that I've heard, and I think you're the most knowledgeable person, and you don't just drone on and on about UFOs or whatever. Even though that is a fascinating topic in itself. But you really have a big spectrum view of things. Now, today, I really am calling you to ask for your advice and counsel because we see an incredible thing going on in the global economy. We see the communist nation of Red China. I still call it Red, so you can see I'm a little old-fashioned, perhaps. I'd like to know your opinion about that. But
you and I both, we grew up those times, yes.
Okay. And of course, we have capitalism. It seems that at first glance, we have capitalism. They are communist. And yet we have people like George Soros, who has informed America. And on my video, Die America Die, my new DVD, he's quoted as saying this. He says, China will be the leader of the new world order, and Americans better not resist. A little threat to us. Now, what really is China? Is it some Grand Duke mixture? I mean, we have both communism and capitalism going on at the same time. What do you see is really happening?
Well, as far back as 1973, I can go back and point out that China was the new experiment. The United States has always been called the grand experiment, but of course China now is the new experiment.
Mm.
And what they're doing with America right now is a controlled demolition or a controlled disintegration in order to level the fiscal economy of the wider world economy. In 1973, the Council on Foreign Relations embarked upon a massive nation-changing project. It was called Project 1980s. And this project at its core had the policy of controlled disintegration of world economies in order to reconstruct a socialist government based on the Chinese experiment model. And I call this the social schism model, not necessarily socialism, but a social schism, where it's a mixture of nationalist-socialist policies mixed with communism, giving us a new form of government, where Project 1980 is where they were talking about how we needed to look into ecology, such as world sustainability through global warming and climate change and climate problems, and the task of population reduction, which is dealing with things like birth control, also euthanasia, and getting back to some genetics directives, which they'll be implementing probably within the next few years. Now, the controlled disintegration of the economy would actually force the world into a new kind of socialism, or what we tend to call the New World Order. But it is all part of the invisible government in waiting. And now, what I am talking about here is not new, okay? Carol Quigley wrote about this. There's a book called Tragedy and Hope. Dan Smoot wrote about it in The Invisible Government, and Gary Allen wrote about this in None Dare Call It a Conspiracy. It was all a warning that the United States is not under the control of a constitutional government. It's being controlled by special committees and social engineers that want to create this new socialist order based on a Chinese model that was first proposed in 1973. You know as well as I do that a growing percentage of Americans realize that some form of threat does exist that actually challenges the continued existence of the Constitutional Republic, and we've got all kinds of scapegoats. We all point the guns at different groups, Muslims, immigrants, you know. But the truth is from within. We have what is going on. We have the conspiracy from within. It's an open conspiracy. The threat is open now. They no longer deny the threat. They are doing it. They do it in front of us. They say they're doing it. George Soros has openly talked about it. The threat to the Republic is known as the permanent revolution. Mm. It's been written about by famous, a lot more, like George Orwell. It's been written about by Huxley. It's been written about even by H.G. Wells. We have spoken many times on my program about the Fabians and the Fabian conspiracy and how the Fabian Society has used something called gradualism to bring about what is known as globalization. And, you know, conspiracy theorists have been trying to throw the dart at the dartboard to try and figure out where the New World Order is coming from. Now the New World Order is here. And the war on terror was concocted, was a creation in order to breed a discussion about nationalism, with America, you know, getting ready to pass into a socialist type of mentality. We begin to see nationalist social orders and philosophies creep into the zeitgeist because the war on terror was designed to actually forestall domestic opposition and condition people to further subjugation and open the discussion about government taking care of the people, or socialism. Government will protect you against the boogeyman, but you must also do things for the government, and we will provide you with the distribution of wealth. We will provide you with the property. We will take over businesses. We will do all those things for you. A safe and secure republic, which is a lie. It is the new model of socialism. It is the new model based on the 1973 new experiment with China.
So basically, in the 20th century, leading on in the 21st, we've had these two great isms, communism and capitalism, and under the classic Hegelian dialectic model, they would these two opposites would conflict with each other until finally there was a synthesis, and then the perennial revolution, as you call it, would continue on, and who knows what the final, maybe Satan coming to planet Earth with his Antichrist would be the final synthesis, you know, the final ordo ab chao. But, you know, you say this has been out there, but I must give you credit, Clyde, because you're the first person to put this together for the Patriot Truth community. I don't think that Ron Paul, for example, and his followers, as good folks as they are, really understand it, because he's only looking at one side of it. He's trying to promote the capitalistic side. He doesn't really know what is being done to meld these two together into some sort of a grand socialist bargain, you might say.
Right.
But at the end of all this, this breakdown of America, you know, Joseph Schumpeter, the British economist, talked about that. And I remember that Alan Greenspan over and over would talk about creative destruction.
Right. It's a controlled demolition of the government within. It is the wolves guarding the sheep, and the sheep are unaware that the wolves are among them. It's Animal Farm. It's the pigs running the farm and making deals with shady characters. It's the Hegelian dialectic, as you said, problem, reaction, solution. We accepted the solution without questioning the motive. It was 9/11 that threw us into this be afraid of the Muslim, be afraid of the terrorist, be afraid of every immigrant, be afraid of everyone when they're here now. It's the idea of the alien threat. Okay, the alien threat is not from a planet. The alien threat is from within. The alien threat is the wolves now guarding the sheep. In fact, that, speaking of aliens, if you remember the movie Avatar, that was one of the symbols of the military. They would say, we are the wolves guarding the sheep. It's the socialist schism. It's the idea that it's confusing because you think, I've never felt better about my life. I'm getting all these things now. I feel great. But the truth is that there's control that is unseen control, that is accepted control that is being waged through coercion and from social, social brainwash, social manipulation. If you take a look at how the media now handles the empire, the media was a tool to keep the empire honest. Now it's a tool to keep the empire moving. It's a tool to keep everyone calm and not question the motives, the movements or motives of government. And so we accept any idea or scheme the government presents to us because of the fact the media is right there, the synthesis, thesis, and antithesis. In the 21st century, we've got this Marxist thinking affecting our entire social and political structure. The Hegelian dialectic, as you bring up, is the framework for guiding, it's for guiding the thoughts and the actions that we have into conflict. It used to be that we won wars and felt good. Now we don't feel good unless we wage war. And that leads us to a predetermined solution that we are persecuted against. And if we don't fight, we won't win. If we don't win, we don't have the takeover, the New World Order, or the military arm of this fascist takeover, this idea of despotism for the sake of undermining what government we have and providing the new solution, the new experiment. And if we don't understand how the Hegelian dialectic shapes our perceptions of the world, then we do not know that we are helping to implement the vision of this, what is known as the Chinese democracy or the new socialist, state socialist order that we will not feel because we will roll in it gradually. It's like the Fabian idea, the Fabian thesis of gradualism. We got to move slowly, pound the rock slowly. We make people realize that they need government. We cannot let them think that they don't need us. We need that's the whole point of it.
So we have this perpetual war for perpetual peace, as it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing to me is the con job, the propaganda that has gone on that to make the world, especially Americans, believe that China actually has a superior system, that they've somehow overcome, the flaws in the, classical communism that Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin confronted, and somehow they've been able to meld this capitalism onto their dictatorial authoritarianism and come up with a better system, as you call it, the experiment that they want us all to be pushed into as our, that's our role model. But evidently they are the ones building up China. They're the ones turning it into a economic colossus.
Right, and that is the point. It'll be the language of business will be Mandarin Chinese. There's no doubt in my mind. You'll have to learn that language in order to do business with international representatives. The language of labor will be Spanish because the immigrants of Mexico and everywhere, they'll be the ones who will do the working, and English will be the language of all other things. And so three languages to learn, English, Spanish, and Mandarin Chinese, and the reason why is because this is the future, the labor, the business, and everything else is, what we're a part of. And it seems that we're going to be narrowing it down very quickly. As a matter of fact, I think that 2012 is going to be the world in the balance. We're going to see changes in religious ideals, changes in who's ruling, who's not ruling, those who come and claim to have divine inspiration or intervention to come in and change what is known as this polarization that we've been having. I mean, look, the Hegelian dialectic is to divide and keep the division going until someone comes along and says, well, let's see how we can make this all come back together. Once again, from chaos comes order. It's been tried and true and works all the time. You know, when we have Democrats against Republicans, we have environmentalists against private property owners, Greens against libertarians, communists against socialists, neocons against traditional conservatives, community activists against individuals in pro-choice versus pro-life, Christians against Muslims, isolationists versus interventionalists. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. We have had plenty of time to become divided, plenty of time to become polarized, plenty of time to have a media create this conflict, this inner conflict, this social fight, this class war, the 99% versus the 1%. And, of course, you know, Soros is behind this, the idea that if we can create the division, you know, people either bite off their arm to get out of the trap and die, or they will just decide that they are going to be a part of it. They're going to accept it. I mean, every time we fight or defend against an ideology, we're playing a necessary role in this grand design to actually advance us into this dictatorship of the proletariat. Marxist model emerges from the ashes the way they planned. This model will be silent. It'll be gradual. And people won't realize that they're asking for it because we demand it. We feel like we're under the gun. We feel like that we're constantly being persecuted against. And it will be what we will demand. It will be demanded. Take a look at, for example, I want you to take a look at something right now. Mm-hmm. Kony 2012. Are you familiar with this?
What is it again?
Kony 2012. Have you heard of this about Joseph Kony, the dictator in Uganda?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, they put out this video. All right. Put out this video. This video has taken everybody by storm because of how it has been put together. People don't realize that the group that is doing this, Invisible Children, pockets 75% of what they take in. We're all now rallying against this horrible, horrible man who's not in Uganda right now, but they tell us he is. It gives us a reason to go into Africa with AfricaCom. We are now moving towards it. And now resolutions have been made to go after Joseph Kony. This is how easy it is now. Slacktivism has gotten to the point where people can sit in their desks, see a horrible, horrible man on the screen, immediately realize he's worse than we are, and we will fight to get rid of him because this is how we feel. We feel like that it's our job to do this, and what will happen will be as simple as a viral video on the internet saying, look what would be better for us all. This new experiment that has been happening since 1973, tried and true, and the Chinese have implemented it, several other governments have implemented it, and now we will implement it because it is all part of this grand global order where we no longer think local, we no longer think sovereign, we think global. And this is how it will all be produced, and people will fall for it.
So Kony, of course, is the, just like Saddam Hussein or Ahmadinejad, they call him the new Hitler. But, you know, Orwell talked about Emmanuel Goldstein.
Yeah, he's our new Goldstein.
He's the guy that was always the shadowy monster that we had to watch out for, that Big Brother and all of us must hate. And then, of course, you know, we had not only George Orwell, but the Zionists have Haman. Every year, the chief rabbis choose a Haman of the year.
Right.
As their monster that they have to, and Ahmadinejad, I understand, is this year's Haman once
right.
again.
When Purim happened this year, Purim, of course, was the celebration of the Haman, or the Haman, and the idea that they choose a Haman or they choose a king. And Benjamin Netanyahu spoke with Barack Obama, and he told him of the story of Haman, the story of Esther in the Old Testament, the Talmud, and presented him with a scroll to remind him of the persecution of Persia and Israel. And the rockets, what was really interesting is that while no one talked about it, Purim was actually the starting point for this attack that's now going on between Gaza and Israel. And it's going to get worse, and it's going to grow. And these are the things we use. We use religion. We use political. We use the sphere of political influence. We run political cycles, religious cycles. We run what are known as prophetic templates that are well known. Hitler did it. Several other people did it. In fact, Hitler rewrote the book Revelation to make it look like his men win the war, and that the new world is him as Christ. This can happen again. History will repeat itself. We'll find another scapegoat, and we will continue in this idea of new world order, this idea of some charismatic king of the world that will be anointed and blessed as our new leader, and people will do it. They fall for this.
Mm.
It's easy. It's human nature. And I know a lot of people will say, well, I'd never fall for this, but I don't believe that. I believe that a lot of people will, unless they pay attention, listen to your show, attention to what I'm talking about, pay attention and say, look for the signs. The Antichrist isn't necessarily somebody you hate. It's somebody that you actually want to embrace and welcome among your flock, which is the wolf in sheep's clothing once again.
Well, you know, there's so much buzzing confusion out there and a crescendo of information hitting us in the internet age. There are actually very few voices like yours out there that have clarity, that can see, you know, the big picture. So I want to congratulate you on this. I hope your message spreads. Do you remember in 1984 how Winston, you know, sort of, I don't know if you call him a hero or what, but at least he did buck Big Brother for a while till he was discovered. Or I should say he was, you know, discovered from the beginning, but they waited patiently to deal with him. But in any case, do you remember at the beginning of the book, he kept having these flashbacks to his mother, to his family. He tried to remember previous history, you know, before everything was thrown into the black hole and destroyed. And he kept trying to remember. Things would flash to him, and he would say, is this the way it was? I'm trying to remember. It makes me think of what you just said, Clyde, where people, you know, they get in this groove of fear and they're willing to do anything Big Brother tells them for security, and they forget that they were secure before Big Brother came on the scene.
You are correct, and this is the thing. I remember on the day of 9/11, on September 11th, I was doing a report because when the towers came down, I was sent downtown Portland to do interviews with people about what was going on. And I would shove microphones in front of people and say, what do you think about what happened in New York? And people were giving raw viewpoints. One person says, I can't believe they're closing down the stores for this because, you know, I'm from Israel. When a bomb goes off at a mall in Tel Aviv, we clean it up and we go on with our business. This is nuts. I don't know what's going on. This is just an accident. Planes went into the buildings. You know, this is not New York. This is Portland. We need to be able to function and continue. Another guy says, what I'm watching is the fall of Rome. All of these things were completely raw. And then if you were to go to those same people today, I'll bet you they would tell you it was a terrorist act. We need to be protected. Constitutional rights would be thrown out the door. All these things because of the fact that the language that was used after the fact was programming us into believing that we are victims, that we are constantly under the gun, that we need the constant surveillance of our government, the constant protection of Big Brother, Big Daddy, the nanny state, whatever you want to call it, the fatherland, the father figure. And we've created the apotheosis of government and the apotheosis of people like Barack Obama. I remember when Barack Obama was elected, they said, it's a new day in America, the dawn of a new day. That was what was said. What's interesting enough about that is that was the same slogan they used when communism came to be. They said, it is the dawn of a new day, and all people, you know, the new day is dawning. This was in 1923. It was actually when the symbol first started, the state of arms of the Soviet Union, the coat of arms. It says, the dawn of a new day for the entire world. And it was repeated in 15 national languages of the USSR. Workers of all lands unite. This is the new day dawning. This is communism. This is going to be the answer to the world. Barack Obama had that in his slogan. Hillary Clinton used it as her slogan as well. She's a Fabian as well. She's a CFR member. These are people that are actually looking to take the bigger crisis and find an amiable solution that they can coerce people into believing in. And you need to understand that, you know, the last administration, the Bush administration, was not led by real conservative Republicans. It was infiltrated by a league of secret societal henchmen whose job was to set an ideological time bomb that would go off and trigger a group of former counterculture communists to come in and save us with the new socialist experiment being conducted in China. Barack Obama and several others are the new communists that are coming in. They are the Chinese communists. They're the idea of creating this Chinese new day dawning.
You know, in a sense, as you've just well stated, going back to the communist era of Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, and so forth, it goes all the way back to the French Revolution, though, this perennial revolution. And they were saying the same things there. Everything must change. Seize the moment. You know, hope, change. A new day is dawning. And it's amazing the parallels between, isn't it, between the French Revolution, the Marxist, you know, what they did at the Commune, the People's Commune in Paris, and then with communism, particularly in the Soviet Union and Red China. And now we're seeing it in America. So how fast is this going to progress?
It'll progress for as long as the Aquarian generation remains in power. And this is something that I think could go all the way back to the 1960s. There's a book called The Aquarian Conspiracy where they talk about the counterculture and how the counterculture was actually programmed for this. And, you know, you look at somebody like maybe John Lennon, for example, who, you know, created the song Imagine.
What incredibility. You know, I remember watching television one time, and there was Dolly Parton, who claims she's a Bible-believing Christian, and there was a huge choir behind her in their choir robes from some Baptist church, Southern Baptist church in Nashville, and there was Elton John on the piano, and he and Dolly were doing a duet of Imagine, and everybody loved it. I mean, the Christian audience was just going gaga, and they didn't realize it was calling for the overthrow of Christianity.
Well, John Lennon himself said that that's what it was. He says the song is the Communist Manifesto.
I remember
Carter
now.
Once said that Imagine has been sung probably more than most national anthems.
You know, and I remember Madeline Murray O'Hare, who came here from Austin, on her American Atheist Forum program, that was her theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine.
Yep, and Lennon said that's exactly what it was. He said it was rubbish. He says he can't believe that, you know, you could come out and read you could read the Communist Manifesto and nobody would care, but you put it in a song and everyone follows it and listens to it. Just shows you how much, you know, and he looked back and said, you know, I created this and I did this and, you know, the whole thing was about revolution. He says, now I'm looking at it and thinking, you know, what have I done? Now he's dead, you know, but he says, what have I done? What have I brought into the world? And it seems that, you know, the manipulation through media, music, drugs, you know, everything else that is involved, this way you'd be easily manipulated and accepting a form of socialism, and eventually the United States may see itself creating a model of government that's similar to what we see. I mean, in fact, I think there was actually a Newsweek article called We're All Socialists Now that I remember reading that showed that we're slowly heading that way because, you know, you look back at everything. There's actually a book that people need to read called The Openspiracy. It was written by H.G. Wells, who was also a Fabian and predicted a lot of things. And he basically said in his book, he says, creating a new world order would be our eventuality because it would have to replace world religion and world government. And he stated that it would all be replaced by an act of collectivism. He said that collectivism would kill religion by replacing it as the new religion and philosophy. Collectivism, of course, is any moral, political, or social outlook that stresses human interdependence and the importance of collective rather than the importance of separate individualism. And who's been speaking about the idea of collectivism, the idea of grouping together rather than having individuality? Barack Obama. He's come into the picture saying we need to have the collectivism, which is just another word for, you know, one for all for one type of mentality with religion, political views, you know, because people do define themselves by country or origin or religion, and it's going to be hard to try and mold the collectivism hive mentality, but it seems to be happening now.
It's happening. It's happening with Christianity and, well, Clive, tell you, we've run out of time here. I want to tell you how much I appreciate your being on with your knowledge. I hope you'll favor us by coming back on, let's say in 6 months, and let's see where all this has taken America. We're in the midst of this interesting, if maybe useless, a presidential campaign. And when we meet again, maybe you can tell us your thoughts about whether the Republicans are going to make one big difference or not, or nothing at all, or we're sort of stuck in the mud in the animal form. Clyde Lewis, now, how do people get a hold of your program again? Your webpage again is?
GroundZeroMedia.org.
GroundZeroMedia.org.
Correct.
And now, is there a streaming audio or something? Listen to your Portland radio program?
Yeah, they can listen on KXL.com or GroundZeroMedia.org. We do have a chat room as well.
Good deal.
And a lot of great things. We talk about anything, a lot of different topics, interesting topics from out of the box. And that's what we do at Ground Zero.
Perfect. Clyde Lewis was my guest today. I want to thank him for being on this program. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this. Stay with us. We got a lot more. again, folks. Tex Mars here. You know, the world is an amazing thing what's going on. There is a crescendo of maximum evil surrounding us on every side. And I believe we have to have as much truth as we can to avoid falling into the pit that, you know, they really have got America into a noose where our necks are in a noose already. And I cannot blame people at all for preparing for bad times to come. You know, there've been some TV programs recently where we find people that are buying shelters to go under the earth. They're sure of a nuclear war to come. Others are preparing with dry foods, and they're worried that, you know, bad times are going to come, and the cities will be just meccas of evil, and people everywhere will be hunkered down in roving gangs and drug cartels and such. With economic catastrophe hitting everywhere, we're going to need guns and ammo, and it's going to be hellacious, almost like the old Mel Gibson movies, you know, Thunderdome and so forth, with the world going into a post-World War III type of situation. Now, when people tell me about these things and how they're preparing, I don't laugh at them. I believe they're probably being very wise. Even the Holy Scriptures tell us of bad times to come. I mean, read Revelation 6 about the four horsemen of the apocalypse who bring war, bloodshed, pestilence, violence, death on a huge scale. So much so that men actually hide themselves in the crevices, in the rocks, in the caves, and cry out, you know, to the Lord, hide us. For the wrath of God is come. Sometimes, you know, God allows things to transpire on their own. I mean, after all, without the Spirit of God, men do evil things. They do. And when we see today Jesus Christ and the gospel is spat upon, even by so many men and women who call themselves Christians, and the truth is made fun of on the internet, in books, and even in children's comedy programs on Saturday morning, and frankly, even in some churches today. And you have to keep up with what's really happening in the world and who our enemies really are. That's why I wrote my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. I want you to know who the enemy really is. I mean, if you don't know who the enemy is, you're just going to be fighting and, you know, at phantoms, unreal phantoms, but there is a real enemy. And the Bible actually reveals who it will be. One of my favorite verses, as you know, is Daniel, the wonderful prophetic book of the prophet Daniel, 12 verse 10. In the last days, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Again, that's why I wrote Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, so you would be wise in knowledge of the events of the last days. I hope you'll order this book and get my new DVD video documentary as well. It's entitled Die, America, Die. And that is exactly what the world powers have as their goal for America. It's death and destruction. Remember, the Old Testament tells us, all those, God said this, all those who hate me love death. They love death. How to get your copy of Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star? It's $25. Please add $5 shipping and handling. Order it from Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. The DVD, Die, America, Die, is also $25. And again, please add $5 for shipping and handling, a total of $30. And you may order that from Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, during the work week, call us here, and a very friendly receptionist will be glad to assist you. in ordering the book. You can use your charge card. And our phone number is 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Of course, you can go on the internet to our webpage, powerofprophecy.com, or simply textmars.com and order either the video, the DVD, or the outstanding book, which is another encyclopedic production by yours truly, Tex Mars. And now let's return to our regular program. You know, we had Clyde Lewis of GroundZero.com on our, actually not Ground Zero, it's Ground, it is Ground Zero, but it's GroundZeroMedia.com. Yeah, I want to make sure I get that. And it was very interesting what he said. And I want to elaborate on this communism capitalist dichotomy today. First of all, folks, I want you to understand something. What we are faced at is three great isms, really. Three great isms. There's communism, there's capitalism, and then there's Zionism. And all of these three are inimical to the truth and the enemies of humanity and of God. Of course, we know of the great horror that is communism. How using Marxist doctrines and Leninist theories, Jews took over the Soviet Union, which was the Russian Empire at the time, and went on to murder 66 million people, according to Solzhenitsyn. Imagine the purging and murder of 66 million people by these communist monsters, who were, in fact, Jews, and who despised Christianity and made Christianity the very central focus of their satanic fury. They set up a system of gulag concentration camps, and many, I believe, still exist today, even in the era of Vladimir Putin, who was, of course, one of the top officials in the KGB, a secret police. Communism, then, is still active. And in fact, the Communist Party USA, which still exists, recently endorsed for president their pal, their role model, Barack Hussein Obama. That's right, the commies endorsed him last election, and they've done it again. Now, communism went on to take over with the help, regrettably, of our president, Harry S. Truman, went on to take over all of Red China. And so today, over 1 billion people are under the dictatorship of the Red Chinese monsters and brutal totalitarian set in Beijing. Some people, some experts have said as many as 100 million Chinese perished in the Great Purge of Mao Zedong, the first Red Chinese leader. Imagine, in the Soviet Union, 66 million. In Red China, 100 million. Together, over 166 million. And we haven't even counted the Eastern European satellite states of Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Romania, Albania, Estonia, and so forth. All in all, no doubt there were 200 million people during the 20th century, and I believe it's even continuing, if on a smaller scale today, 200 million people tortured, murdered. No wonder the book of Revelation talks about the great bloodshed in the last days. As it turns out, Mao Zedong rose to power with the help of communist Jews, just as did Lenin and Stalin and Trotsky in Soviet Russia. Mao Zedong could not have taken power without the Jews who went to China and in 1949 catapulted this peasant leader, Mao Zedong, to supreme power. Of course, Harry Truman, and you can read about this in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You have to understand that at that time he had just become president, and he was basically controlled by Morgenthau and Baruch, two Manhattan financiers, both Jews. And this is how then, against the work and the desires of great American patriots like Douglas MacArthur, General Douglas MacArthur, this is what happened to America under Harry S. Truman. Toward the end of his presidency, of course, Truman seemed to have awakened up just a little bit and saw what he had done, and he himself turned against the Jews. And, of course, that's why they told him, you will not be president for one more term. He really won his first vote. You see, he took over the presidency during the death of his predecessor, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Truman had been vice president, and so he became then the president upon the death of President Roosevelt. Almost 3 years he was president of the United States after Roosevelt, and then he ran on his own, and he was given a $2 million bribe, that's proven in my book, I documented, by Zionist Jews in America, and they helped him with this money to become president under his own rights. And he won the vote in a squeaker election over Mr. Thomas Dewey of New York. He owed the Jews then his election, did he not? But he had told the Jews that he would make Israel a nation once again if they would give him this $2 million, some of which I believe he kept for himself, but the most of it went into his political campaign for office, and he did indeed win, with the help, of course, of the Jewish-controlled media in America at the time. In any case, because of the dictates, the demands of Morgenthau, who had been the Secretary of Treasury under Roosevelt and continued on for a while under Truman, and Bernard Baruch, who was the real power behind the scenes, this Jewish financier in New York City, who ran basically the White House under Roosevelt and still continued, even his old age, to have power over Truman. Because of these men, then Truman discounted the advice of MacArthur and allowed Mao Zedong to take over Red China. But as I show in my newsletter and articles that I've done, there were Jews who went to China, some had lived there, their families, for generations. And they became the bankers and the propaganda masters in China. Now, people don't even know about that. How many people know that Jews were the power behind the throne of Mao Zedong? It's true. In any case, the Jews then put Mao Zedong in power. They elevated communism to power in this great nation of China. Meanwhile, of course, they themselves gained the nation of Israel. Now today we have 7 million Jews in Israel, and we have about an equivalent number in the United States. There are more Jews in Israel and the United States than all the rest of the nations of the world combined. And I want you to understand the billionaires of Israel, and especially the Rothschild bankers, are the masters of communism and of capitalism. You understand what I'm saying? They control, as I showed in my video, Rothschild's Choice, these Zionist billionaire masters control both Red China and capitalist United States and Europe. Now, you would think at first that these are two totally opposite types of government powers, because communism is a direct dictatorship, and the party controls everything. Now, in recent years, the communists in China have allowed the people a certain amount of entrepreneurial and business freedom. So you can start a business, if you get the government to approve it, in Red China today. And, of course, you can work very close with a capitalist in the West, in Europe and the United States, selling them all kinds of things. And thus we have the Made in China labels on much of our products in America today. But there's more to China than simply building furniture and knickknacks and other consumer goods. China has become a great oil colossus. A great oil colossus. And it is petroleum that basically, let's just say, greases and fuels the world. Now, the capitalist world, of course, has its oil. And we control the oil of the Middle East through Israel. But remember this, if you can control the oil, well, the rest of the world will go along with whatever you want. Because if you cut off oil to a nation, be it India or Japan or Indonesia or the United States, there will be economic collapse in due time. So oil is the most important resource in the world today. From jet aircraft to automobiles to industrial machinery, everything depends on oil. Now, we have today in the world these three isms, communism, Zionism, and capitalism. But I want to propose to you that it is Zionism that controls both communism and capitalism. They are the ones behind the scenes, lubricating, you might say, the whole world. That is why it is so important in the Israeli diseased psychotic mind to control the oil of the Middle East. It is why the sheikhs of Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and of Qatar and, you know, the United Arab Republic and all the other sheikdoms in the Middle East, they basically are servants of the Israelis. Hosni Mubarak, the president who was made president of Egypt by the United States and Israel, served as the servant and slave of the Israeli Zionists for over two decades. Do not think for a moment that the army in Egypt today are not servants and slaves to the same Zionist forces. Please understand, with American military power, Israel has become itself a miniature colossus in the Middle East. And by controlling the oil of the Middle East, Israel is controlling much of the world today. Now, we invaded Iraq not because of Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, which did not exist, but because Israel wanted us to do away with their enemy. So America, we gave thousands of lives of our young men and women, and we have spent, at least the experts say, over $4 trillion to conquer the nation of Iraq. In my video, Die America Die, I explain exactly why we did it. You see, Iraq, according to the International Energy Administration, actually has more oil in the ground in reserves than does Saudi Arabia. It was believed until recently that no other nation could compete in oil reserves with Saudi Arabia. We now know that Iraq has more oil. And only this month, in 2012, have the statistics come out that more oil is coming out of the ground in Iraq than in Saudi Arabia. An incredible amount of oil is being produced by Iraq. Now, America has taken many of its combat troops from Iraq, but we still have troops over there. And we have built, and you know, they say they're in training purposes, they're guarding, they're in security, they're not combat troops. Folks, a man wearing an army uniform is still a combat troop, as any army general would tell you. Now, we have also built the largest United States embassy in the world in Baghdad. We've spent billions of dollars to build that embassy. It is larger than the embassy in Great Britain, larger than the embassy in Italy or France. It is the largest U.S. embassy in the world, and yet Iraq has a population of only about 23 million people. That's smaller than the state of Texas in population. Why would we need a gigantic embassy that is the largest U.S. embassy in the world outside of Baghdad? It is because the Israelis have moved in with us into that embassy, and working with the American CIA and State Department, the Israeli Mossad and other agencies of the Israeli government, is building a colossus itself in the Middle East. And that is why Libya was attacked and its oil and gold stolen by the Israelis and the Americans, working, of course, with the Europeans, who are basically the peons that do whatever America tells them. If Europe doesn't do what we tell it to do, you know, Portugal, Belgium, Greece, Spain, Italy, Ireland, Great Britain, and all the other countries, including Germany, we'll destroy them economically. In fact, just recently, our own Federal Reserve, I reported this to you, gave another $1.3 trillion to the banks of Europe because they were on the verge of bankruptcy. We saved their bacon. And we did it before in 2007 and 8 when the Great Recession hit the United States and Europe. We saved Europe from disaster. We are the sugar daddy that's funding Europe. It's your taxpayer dollars. Now, remember, though, it is the Israeli Mossad and the American CIA, run by these Israeli billionaires under Rothschild, who are controlling the Middle East. They have destroyed Libya and destabilized it. They have destroyed Lebanon and destabilized it. They have destroyed Iraq and destabilized it. They're in the process of destroying Yemen and Syria and destabilizing them. Next will be Iran, of course. And then the Turks don't know it, but Turkey will also go down the tubes, as will Pakistan. All the Muslim world will become, and the Muslims will become servants to the Jews. As is written in their Talmud, that even the best of the Gentiles will be killed. And they will use the United States as their bully boy, as their mercenary army to achieve this. Meanwhile, Israel itself, because they don't even trust America, has stolen American military secrets and now has up to 400 nuclear bombs ready to go off against who? Not only Tehran, Iran, but the Israelis are now threatening the capitals of Europe. And they have demanded and gotten the missiles from the United States. And so now Israel can destroy Washington, D.C. Folks, Assad, the leader of Syria, has no way to get bombs to the United States and has no nuclear bombs. Iran has no way to transport or to deliver nuclear armaments to the United States and has no nuclear bombs. The nation that does have nuclear bombs in the Middle East and does have the means to destroy city after city with mushroom clouds is Israel. And they are nuts and evil and devilish enough to do it. And if you say, well, Tex, prove they're devilish. I prove it by the statement of Jesus, who told the Jews and the rabbis, you are of your father the devil. Some say, well, no, he just told the Pharisees that. No, he told the house of Israel. Read Matthew 23 and 24. And today, the Encyclopedia Judaica says that the Pharisees are the modern-day Orthodox Jews, and they're the ones that control Israel, not the secular Hollywood Jews. The Orthodox Likud Jews control Israel. Netanyahu is a hardliner Likud who promotes the Orthodox form of Judaism, and he is the monster who is massacring the Gazan Gentiles of Palestine, and will do it to the Gentiles of North America when he gets the chance, some decades hence, if not before that. Now, what I want you to understand is the Jews helped build up Red China. They have perverted our capitalist system. You cannot go back to the 1700s and read Adam Smith's Commonwealth and say, oh, that's what capitalism is. It's every person taking care of their own business. It's Ron Paul's type of mind your own business and having freedom and liberty and the constitutional ability to start your own business. Folks, that's called free enterprise. That's not crony, monolithic, monopolistic cartel capitalism. The evil form of capitalism is one in which John D. Rockefeller, the senior, once was so angry because the price of oil had dropped that he vowed he would destroy all the smaller oil companies and gobble them up so he could raise the price of oil. And it was Rockefeller, who everybody thought was a capitalist, who said, quote, competition is a sin. To these crony capitalists who are Zionist billionaires who own Wall Street and control the big banks and who now control most of the Middle East and have gobbled up Syria almost and Libya and Lebanon and Palestine and Egypt and are now eyeing with greedy eyes the oil of Iran, these people are the wicked form of capitalist. They're not the little entrepreneur that opens a mom and pop business. They're the huge multinational bank, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corporation, HSBC, Barclays Bank in England, the Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, all run by Zionist Jews. They control Wall Street. They control the gold markets. They control the oil futures markets. That's why oil is everywhere. We have a surplus all over the world. And in the United States, we have more than we need. And yet they continue to drive up the price of oil, breaking the back of Americans. And as far as China becoming a great colossus, the Jews have done it by using American military power to destroy Iraq. And then Halliburton and the other giant oil building corporations have built pipelines across Israel into the Mediterranean and across southern Lebanon, and BP and China Oil Company, that's right, British Petroleum owned by Rothschild, and the Israeli billionaires in Tel Aviv have teamed up together with a China National Oil Company, and they are all working inside Iraq today, and they are pulling up the oil, and they're paying, get this, they're paying the Iraqi government, our puppets now, $2 a barrel. And they're selling this oil on the world markets for $106 a barrel. Folks, if you can take oil and get it for $2 a barrel and sell it for $106 a barrel, you soon will be rich if your supply is inexhaustible. And it is. Where is this oil going that BP and the China oil company are taking out of the ground for a measly $2? It's going in these gigantic oil tankers day and night, 24/7, to China. And China has been made into an oil colossus, an economic Goliath by the Jews and Rothschild. Why? So they can compete with the capitalists of the West. And eventually, because of the Hegelian dialectic that Clyde Lewis and I were talking about, China will conquer the United States. We will become the servants. George Soros said it. China will be the leader of the New World Order, and you Americans better not resist. Folks, I say do resist. Fight this Obama plan. Mitt Romney is part of it too. Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, they're all agents of the Israeli Mossad. That's what they are. They're controlled by the Jews. You say, Tex, are you anti-Semitic? I am a truthful American patriot. I'm not a kosher patriot. I'm a biblical Jesus-believing patriot. And that has made all the difference. Folks, I invite you to tune in each week during this same time and discover the truth. Yes, discover the power of prophecy. Until next time, this is Tex Mars. May God richly bless you.